Okay, clogged pores. I've had it. You think I don't notice your pesky blackheads? It's all I see. Why else would I be dodging photos, yelling back up, zoom out, not so close? But now, I've got Biore Deep Cleansing Charcoal Pore Strips. With natural charcoal, they pluck out stubborn dirt, oil, and even blackheads in just one strip. So go ahead, snap away. With Biore, I have finally found the skin of my dreams. Biore, free your pores.
Wanna do bad things.
That's real, yo. That dream at all, man. The more money you make, the more problems you get. And jealousy and envy is something that comes with the territory, man. A lot of people, it's just negative energy, like my man Puff said.
What country you from?
What?
What ain't no country I ever heard of? They speak English and what?
What?
English, mother, do you speak it?
Man, you've been doing all this dope producing. You ain't had a chance to show them what time it is.
So what you want me to do?
Welcome to the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast.
Congratulations, you have arrived at episode 422 of the Spurs Cast, the original San Antonio Spurs podcast, brought to you, of course, by ProjectSpurs.com. I'm your host, Ryan McCallum, and with me, as always, it's Jose Grijalva. He's fighting a bit of a rat problem today, he tells me, but Jose, talk to us, man. How are things?
Literal rats, not like the, you know, fans. I think that's what they call fans, right? Because I know in wrestling they're called the ring rats. So, no, but they just chewed up some of my underwear, and it was brand new, so I'm in murder mode. I'm looking for it. I want to make it suffer, you know?
You seem like the kind of guy that would sign up for one of those, like MyUndies.com, like an underwear subscription service.
You know, I do get emails from them. I've seen them. It's just not my style, you know?
Well, that cackle in the background is none other than good friend of the show, Mr. Benjamin Bornstein. Ben, hello, man. How are you?
I'm great. I'm much better now that I heard an underwear story today. There's nothing quite like that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not every time in pre-show, I always ask Jose, hey, man, how's it going? He asks me, hey, Ryan, how you doing? I say, oh, everything's good. I ask him how he's doing, and he's telling me about rats eating his underwear, dogs barking outside of his house, what happened at the gym. He always has a long story to talk about his day. I wish I was more like Jose. Had more going on.
Yeah, and I'm going to have more going on, probably more white hairs because it's winter league season here for the kids. So,
oh, yeah.
It's time to defend my because we can't keep the same teams, but I'm going in as the defending champion as a coach, so we'll see how that goes.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, guys, today we have probably a short podcast. I don't want these things going too long. We've had some ones that have been marathons. Have gone about an hour and a half. I'm liking this 30-minute podcast, Jose, that we're doing. 30 minutes, 45 minutes. Get it all in and straight into the ear holes of our fan base.
Right in the ear holes.
That's what she said.
Well, let's try to keep it to about that length. We've got a lot of NBA news, not a lot of Spurs news, except just recapping a loss, and we'll do that right up front. But we'll make our way around the NBA. We'll talk about power rankings, which surprisingly, at least for me, have the Spurs at number one, and then hit on a listener question that we got in via email earlier in the week. But guys, first, I wanted to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks, 109 to over the Spurs. Let me try this again. The Bucks got 109. The Spurs got 107. Obviously, Milwaukee won last night. Fairly equal game. Kawhi got his 30 points. He had 25 points in the third quarter. I thought he was going to be way over 30, which is, you know, sort of a benchmark for the Spurs. If Kawhi gets 30 points, they win the game. Michael Beasley didn't quite have as many points as Kawhi did for the Bucks, but I thought was every bit of a contributor and every bit of a star last night. He got 28 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists. Greg Monroe kind of played a middle. Monroe played a little bit of a middle of the road game, but Milwaukee comes out on top. I ask this, you know, Milwaukee's not a good team. They're kind of a future, maybe a dangerous team, but right now they're not a good team. How did they beat the Spurs, Ben?
By definition, they are mediocre. They are average. I think that win put them one game over 500. They played without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Mm-hmm. Spurs also played without LaMarcus Aldridge, who, despite getting a lot of hate tweets, is a very good player and is a key piece of the Spurs offense. When you replace him with a Dwayne Dedmon or a David Lee, you miss out on a lot of offense that you wish you had, especially in the mid-range area, which is my secret third fundamental of basketball behind layups and corner threes. But I did not get a chance to watch all of the game. I was following a lot of it on Twitter, to be honest. But it's frustrating to see that, because even without LaMarcus Aldridge, you have to think that the Spurs should have won that game. They were up by, I think it was 13 at one point, and there was everybody was talking about that run that took place in the second quarter. I think it was a 7-0 run. And when you give a team like the Bucks any sort of confidence, they can build on that and run with it, which they did. So it doesn't matter if Kawhi scores 30. If you're not going to hold anybody, if you're not going to stop anybody on defense, then what does it matter? The other thing was Michael Beasley has been, I'm sure nobody here watches Bucks basketball, but if you do, you will have noticed that Michael Beasley's actually gotten back to being a pretty good player. Mm-hmm. He can come in and, I mean, he can do what he did last night. He hasn't been terribly consistent about it, but he can do damage like that in spurts. So he's starting to finally, maybe not exactly be worth that pick that was used on him, but he's becoming a serviceable NBA player.
Yeah, Jose, what is your takeaway from the game? And talk a little bit about Tony Parker, who continues to play well, pitching in 7 assists and 14 points.
Well, he's playing well. He looks like he has that extra step. You know, it sort of seems like he was confused before, especially with a bunch of new guys coming in. He's trying to, you know, figure out how to play next to Pau Gasol and LaMarcus Aldridge. I think he figured out if he's aggressive, it leaves those guys open in the mid-range area or in the paint. So I think he's gotten comfortable with that. I think that's really all it was, because he looked pretty slow. But now when you compare the two halves of what we've been seeing so far, it's more of confidence instead of the actual speed. You know, about the game, you know, like Ben was saying, Michael Beasley, apparently he's been doing well. I only pay attention to the Greek Freak, you know, on right, when they post his stats and all that. But other than that, I really don't care about Bucks basketball. But the one thing I did notice was I was very surprised at the last play. I don't know if you guys remember the last play. I tweeted at from the Spurs cast, the Twitter handle at the Spurs cast. I thought they were going for three. I knew they were going for three. You know, I don't think Pop wanted to go into overtime with Michael Beasley dominating the game, because you really didn't have an answer for him.
Right.
I was pretty surprised that Pop put in Manu, Leonard, Parker, Green, and David Lee instead of 5 3-point shooters. I found that very odd. I think he's still experimenting. But the fact that, you know, again, because David Lee and Tony Parker, because there was so much motion in that play, I really don't think Parker would have been good at shooting in that position like Manu try to make that shot. I think Parker's a really good spot up 3-point shooter when he's waiting and he, you know, sets up. So I found that very odd. I would have liked Pau Gasol instead of David Lee. I would have liked maybe Patty Mills instead of Tony Parker.
Yep.
And have 5 shooters. Kawhi drives in, and if they, you know, sort of collapse on him, then he has whatever site he can go to, whatever player, you know. I just thought it was a weird play, but I can understand that Pop's still experimenting to see who can play alongside who, especially during those crunch time moments.
I think that's...
But what about Bertens, though?
Yeah.
We should talk about Bertens. He's surprising, you know, and the fact he missed that three, did you remember it was that same play? I think it was the exact same play that Manu and Robert Horry went through with the in the finals. What was it, game 5 of the 2005 finals, where he hit that the game winner, you know, off the inbounds pass. I thought it was brilliant. It sucks that, you know, he missed it. If he would have made it, it would have been a whole different situation. We'd be talking about how the Spurs won. So, I mean, but a loss is a loss. You know, I don't really think it matters that much so far this season.
Yeah, it sure doesn't. I mean, they're 30-8 now. The difference there, that when you look at their losses, they're scoring 11 points fewer than their average. And to me, that's not so concerning to me, because that just means that they've gone cold for a game. They've done that 8 times. In their losses, they're scoring 97 points a game, and their wins are scoring 108, 108.5. So to me, that just speaks to them going cold. They're 5 points off their field goal percentage in their losses. They're a whole 10 points off their three-point percentage. So to me, that's just the things that you typically count on for San Antonio to do. They're not doing. And it's not a coaching flaw. It's not a scheme flaw. They've just gone cold. And we've seen that happen from time to time, Ben, right?
Yeah, that's been an issue. It's a lot of going cold. And earlier in the year, it was a lot of bad turnovers. Not even necessarily committing more of them. It just seemed like there were more live ball turnovers mm-hmm. that directly led to points, and that's been cut down as well. So it's like you said, a lot of it is just it happens to be cold shooting.
Yeah, well,
isn't that ironic that everybody else is cold, and then Jonathan Simmons, who really can't shoot, is hot from the 3-point line?
Yeah,
it's just
of course that would happen. The one night that would happen.
Well, the Spurs will get over it quick, because on the 12th, the Lakers are coming into town. Who are just awful. Again, they've returned to the mean, which is bad play. So San Antonio should be able to pick up a win again and keep a positive season going. Look for 31 wins, so they'll be 31-8 hopefully after the 12th. But guys, you know, the Spurs haven't been the most exciting thing in the news. If you circle around the NBA, which we are prone to do on this podcast, there's a lot of good stories out there. I want to start with some easy ones first, at least. I think they're easy. Let's talk about DeMarcus Cousins, and his history there in Sacramento has been just wrought with controversy. Doesn't like his teammates, hates his coach, gets coaches fired, always seemingly on the trade block, always seemingly in trade rumors. And even this year, he's expressed some serious dissatisfaction. The guy is rumored to want and to be offered a multi-year extension. Is this a case of Sacramento just not wanting to let Cousins go and show me the money, you know, paying him certainly what he's worth, but trying to get him not to leave? And is it a case of DeMarcus Cousins just being content with losing as long as he's getting paid? Jose, what do you think?
I had to close my door because my chihuahua opened it. Sorry.
It sees that rat.
I hope she eats it. Anyways, but no kisses from me if she does. You know, I'll disagree with you on the coaching. I just think George Karl screwed it up. I did not like how he handled it. It was very disappointing, especially with all that Carmelo talk and everything. I think it was really on him. I think he missed a golden opportunity to mentor these guys. Sort of seems like he just wanted to go and, you know, do a job and, you know, just get paid and win championships instead of, you know, sort of make evolving into a relationship, kind of like Pop and his players. Anyways, the contract situation, I think I don't know if they're trying to keep him. It seems like a sticky situation because, you know, they're not that good. I can't see anybody going to Sacramento with this team or even with Cousins as the main option, having all that money playing against them in the salary cap. I think they just might be, you know, securing him in a contract and then maybe trading him and see what they can get for him since they'll know how much he'll be making. Trade him to a contender, get some pieces back, get some draft picks. I just can't see in a situation, you know, logically where they're thinking about keeping him and building a championship team around that. I just don't see it.
Yeah, that thought crossed my mind too, that they were going to ink him to a deal just so that they could retain him with the expectation that they would move him. Do you think that they'd move him by this trade deadline, though? If they signed a new extension, do you think that they would trade him out this year? I mean, they're contending for that eighth spot, which I don't know what that really gets you, because you're either playing Golden State, Houston, or San Antonio in that first round. So you're going to immediately get bounced. They have they can't have expectations to move on in the playoffs. So is if you keep Cousins and you get the eighth seed, have you really won anything? Is that any kind of do you cross any sort of mental barrier there now that you're in the playoffs? Ben, what do you think? Is there any value in keeping Cousins even past this year? Or this year, or would you move him this year? I guess I should say.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're going to – yes, I would try and move him. I don't even know if I'd try and sign him to the deal before I move him. Because if you give him a max contract, which is – I'm looking at about $207 million is what I'm seeing. That there are teams that just will not take that contract. They said we understand DeMarcus Cousins is a great player. We understand he's probably a near-max player, if not a max player, but the headaches he causes elsewhere are not worth that money. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why Sacramento has had such a tough time moving him, although he does seem to be getting along with new coach Dave Joerger much better. I think Joerger is definitely more of a player's coach than George Karl ever was.
Oh, sure.
And ever will be, for that matter. And like Jose said, George Karl completely screwed up that situation. He came in there and tried to be a taskmaster, which would not work with that team, with the personalities that team had, and especially with Boogie Cousins.
Yeah.
There are guys Cousins can play with. There are guys he enjoys playing with, but there are just so few of them that it's hard to build a team around them. And the front office is just completely inept when it comes to making deals and actually getting him players. I mean, who is the best guy he's played with? Rudy Gay?
Isaiah Thomas,
and they let him go?
Ray McCallum.
All right, we're done here, Ryan.
Did you hear Sam Amick's podcast that when he interviewed George Karl last week about that book? First off, the book title's ridiculous. Furious George. It's just stupid.
That absolutely the dumbest title for a book I've ever seen.
It's just stupid, yeah. And I used to
thought it was great.
I really liked – I don't know why I liked George Karl. I don't know why I thought that I could identify with George Karl in some way. Before hearing him speak and before that last run in there with Sacramento, I thought, oh, this is – George Karl's an all right guy. Listening to that podcast and having him interview, man, you want to talk about probably the cockiest guy – in the NBA, and well, I guess he's not in the NBA anymore. The guy around NBA circles, that guy is otherworldly. I mean, he's next level. I could see. I didn't even want to listen to the. I like that podcast, but I only second only to the Spurs cast, of course. But I wouldn't. I didn't even want to listen to him be interviewed past 5 minutes into the interview. I couldn't imagine being coached by a guy like that. I can see how players, and historically, he's always had problems with players. So that's not surprising that caused some issue there at Sacramento. But like you said, he seems to be doing well with Dave Joerger. Remember when he was with Mike Malone, who's now in Denver, they loved each other. I mean, that was a great relationship there, and inexplicably,
yeah, that was,
Malone moves
that was
on.
Bromancing.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah.
I was also going to bring up, you guys mentioned trading him. He's at $16 million. $16.9 million this season. He's still at $18 million next season, so they'd have to sign him to the extension in the offseason, right? I mean, what's the max salary, Ben? It's going to be 40, isn't it, since you got 5 years?
Yeah, they'll be able to offer 5 years with the salary cap going up. They'll be able to offer the most money because they have deferred rights.
I would say you probably take that. Just because if you could get him at a cheaper salary and then it bumps up, I mean, then you could sign those veteran players. So, like if you're a contender, let's just say like the Spurs. If you're a contender like the Spurs and you were to trade who the hell would you trade for him? I guess Pau Gasol. Let's just say you trade Pau Gasol for him in the offseason. You could still, absorb so much more salary that season, and then when it bumps up to 40, I think it would be a genius move. You'd pay a crap load in taxes, but as far as building a team, I think that's why they're probably going to do it if they do trade him. And don't be surprised if he goes to a contender. Hmm. Maybe Cleveland. LeBron's a GM there. He might want him.
Cleveland does not have enough money to do that.
But I mean,
they're already in the luxury tax.
But I mean, Kevin Love. Get Kevin. You can trade Kevin Love for him. Oh, who cares? Just do it. Anybody. Who cares about the rules? Doesn't matter. Just put the rules on the trade machine off. And then Jose just wants
like full chaos theory, right? Just having players move around the league, no rhyme, no reason. Doesn't matter.
No, yeah, he wants to play GM in 2K. That's all he wants to do. So no rules, no trade rules. I get to make whatever trades I want. The computer can't say no.
Well, the Purge, NBA salary cap edition.
The Purge, jeez. another guy who purged himself off of his team, at least temporarily. And Ben, this is really why we have you in. This is your account. This is East Coast. Tell me what is good. Tell me the whole saga of Derrick Rose. The past couple of days have been unlike anything that we've really seen in recent years. What's going on with Derrick Rose and the New York Knicks?
Okay, this is absolutely some next-level bizarro stuff going on. So, I believe it was Monday night, Derrick Rose, nowhere to be found. They have a game against New Orleans at Madison Square Garden. Nowhere to be found, has talked to no one, has disappeared, nobody knows where he is.
Now granted, it was a game against New Orleans, so he could just disappear and no big deal, right?
Well, if you tell people, sure. If you tell people you're going to be out, they usually don't have a problem with it, but, I mean, communication is everything. So he doesn't tell anybody. He ends up going home to Chicago, says he left because of a family issue with his mom. Okay, fine, but, you know, you couldn't text somebody, you couldn't even, I don't know, you couldn't DM somebody, you couldn't give someone a call. Seems very bizarre. So...
And he said he wouldn't call because he needed some space. He had stuff on his mind. That was his quote.
Yes. So some of those things that he had on his mind apparently were that he was considering walking away from the game of basketball for an extended period of time to clear his mind. That is according to Frank Isola of the New York Daily News. Apparently, he was an emotional wreck Monday afternoon, and that's why he wanted to go see his mom to talk to her about some things, whatever. He comes back, and now he's saying he wants a max contract.
And this is within 24 hours, right? To run from, I want to quit, to I want a max deal.
Yeah, he goes from, I need to step away from basketball, to, you know what, I need a max deal. He's 28 years old, has bad knees. Granted, he's playing a lot better this year, and he's showing that his knees can hold up.
Former MVP.
But to say that he is worth a max contract is absolutely ludicrous.
And for him, was this 5 years, right? And 150, you said?
I do not know the numbers because I don't believe the Knicks have his bird rights because he was traded to them.
Well,
so
think about his history, though. You know. He was in Memphis for like 8 months, right? Realistically speaking.
Yeah.
Chicago guy goes to Memphis for college for 8 months, comes right back to Chicago, has great success there, plays there for a long time. This is the furthest away he's ever been from home, right? In New York. I could see how that could weigh on his mind and he, you know, get a little homesick and want to go home. It's not bizarre to me, this desire to go home and see your family, right? Especially if you're alone, you're out there, you just got benched by, you know, we didn't really talk about that, but got benched.
Well, Andy had the whole saga over the summer with the woman accusing him of rape.
Yeah, just what an odd issue. I mean, is Derrick Rose, is he even a top, I mean, there's 30 teams. Is he a top 15 point guard in the league?
That's the thing. I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I mean, I don't think it would take us long. I'm not writing a list or anything, but I don't think it would take us long to find, you know, 15 better point guards. I mean, hell, the guy who wasn't even in the preseason top 100 players in the league, San Antonio's own Tony Parker, is playing, you know, leaps and bounds better than Derrick Rose is this year, especially during this little stretch where he's, you know, 15, 16 points a game. And he wasn't even the top 100. I mean, I'm wondering where Derrick Rose is even in that list. But certainly, I don't think he's a top 15 point guard.
No, he does not warrant the contract he is asking for or demanding. depending on how you look at it.
So where's Jose? Where's Phil Jackson in all of this? Isn't Phil Jackson the guy who's supposed to settle all of these issues? Isn't he supposed to be the guy you go to, you speak with when you've got these kind of problems? I mean, what is Phil Jackson doing up there besides drafting Porzingis? What's he doing up there if he's not taking care of issues like this?
Well, I kind of figured this team would be a cluster of a mess at the beginning just because it's too many different players trying to play together. It's not going to work. I forgot who it was. They wrote an article. I think it was in the, one of the New York magazines, but they were saying trade him. No way. It doesn't work.
Yeah.
The thing about that is, what does Phil Jackson do when one of his players just doesn't show up and he leaves? I think you got to be more mature than that. I can understand, well, you're home, like how you were saying, you're homesick, but you just can't leave and not tell your employer that, especially when you're getting paid millions and millions of dollars.
He's a 28-year-old man.
Yeah. Well, Jose, I'm talking about proactively. I mean, isn't Phil Jackson supposed to have the relationship with these guys to where they would go and talk to him if they're having
– I think that's – I think you're just naming the coach, though. I think it would have been the coach. If he's mad at the coach, then I would go complain at the GM, I guess. But he doesn't have a lot of pull. I mean, he doesn't have leverage. He's always been injury-prone. He wants minutes. It's not working out. He's not really – he's playing well with what he – as far as where he is at this point of his career. But he's not playing well as far as a team player. Mm-hmm. So I just – it's a messy situation. If I was Phil, I would have just let him go. Yeah. You know – eat up that money. He's going to be a free agent next year. Cut your losses. What I think is going on with Rose is he's playing well to a point, but I think he wants to play like how he used to play. He can't play that way. He's not having fun. That's why he left. Now he's saying, well, if it has to be a job a la George Karl, and it's not really for the fun or the camaraderie, then pay me the most that you can pay me. I think that's where it's going to come down to. That's why I think he wants to leave, because he's not having fun. He's not the old Derrick Rose. He's just old Derrick Rose. That's where you mentioned Tony Parker. I mean, Tony Parker, I think, went through a stint like that. That's why he sort of suffered as far as stats, you know, maybe the last few years. But now he's gotten the hang of, hey, this is what I can do. This is what my teammates can do. This is how I can incorporate my game in that. And I don't think Derrick Rose really has any interest of doing that. I still think he wants to be the guy. He can't really be the guy in New York. So I think he's just trying to – he's really just trying to force the Knicks to trade him, I think, and find a team that would pay him an insane amount of money, but I don't think you'll find that.
What's the next step here? What's for them? I mean, there's a disciplinary act that's already happened where he got a fine, but he's not getting suspended by the Knicks.
Which is ridiculous.
Yeah, craziness. But
I mean, it's setting a bad precedent.
Yeah, I can't see other players doing – I don't think this is going to be a fad or a trend or anything. I definitely don't think any of the other Knicks are built this way.
Players aren't going to go around randomly just missing games because they feel like it. Granted, right. Coaches are going to rest guys for games that they don't think are meaningful, which is a different topic. But, I mean, a fine for him, I don't know what the amount was, but – whatever amount it is, that's nothing. That's nothing to these guys. That's not even a slap on the wrist. Why would you bother even finding them? Why don't you find them? Why don't you suspend them for a game and they don't get that game check? Yeah. That means more.
So is this?
You know, I was gonna say, you know, after this incident, I wonder if the next CBA, because they already agreed to terms on it on the next one, but the one after that, I'm surprised they don't put in something like this where. You know, if they refuse to go to work, then they, sort of cancel out their contract, you know, void the contract, and they can't play in the league for 2 or 3 years. You have to make it something severe if they're going to do something like that. I can understand if you go to the games and you're not happy, but you still play and you voice your displeasure, so you can find a trade or something, but just not to go to work and not to call your employer. I mean, what would happen if you guys did that? You know, well, I don't feel like going to work today. I miss my mom, or I miss my family. I'm going to go visit them. What's your employer going to do? They're just going to fire you on the spot. These guys are paid millionaires doing something that a lot of people do for fun. I think you got to put a severe punishment. Void the contract. Doesn't matter how much. Just void it and ban them for so much time in the league. And I mean, it's going to take a toll, because if this were to happen to Derrick Rose right now, and then he wants a max contract, you void the contract. You don't let him play in the league for 2 or 3 years. He's past his prime already. He's not going to be even worth close to that much. And again, it's going to hurt these guys even more. So I think they were second guess doing something dumb like this.
Do you see him getting moved out? I mean, trade deadlines are a coming. Do you see him getting moved out of New York, and where might be a good landing spot, if any?
Well, I'd rather take Boogie Cousins for $40 million than take Derrick Rose for whatever the hell he's earning right now.
Yeah, I'll put it that way. Million. I'm pretty sure he's $21 million for Derrick Rose,
and he's an expiring contract. So no, I don't think anybody would want him. He'd want to go to a contender, but all the contenders really have a point guard. He doesn't want to come off the bench apparently. So I mean, there's not much you can do about that. Nobody's going to touch him. I think this is a situation where all the GMs get in a conference call and sort of just talk about it and say, you know, Derrick Rose is kind of an idiot.
Yeah,
this is if you are a team that actively trades for Derrick Rose, you deserve to take a few L's. All right, that's the end story there. I mean, if you're out there and you're calling the Knicks, you're like, hey, we heard what happened with Rose. Do you want to trade him for something? And like, you're actively going after Rose, you are a moron. You should not be a GM. Please leave.
Yeah, the only reason would be because of that contract, then you could write him off next year, right? So if you could trade and get out from under something yourself.
It would be a total salary dump.
Yeah, right, exactly. I could, maybe a team like Dallas would do something like that, who's going to have to do a massive overhaul anyway.
Yes.
I don't know. You know, something like
that. Are they in the playoffs right now? I mean, I think you'd have to be in the playoffs to make a move like that, right?
Dallas is last in the West.
Yeah, right. And they're – what do you mean? If they were in the playoffs, they would use Derrick Rose and say, this guy puts us over the top? Is that the argument?
I think that's the only way that if somebody were to trade for him, that's the only thing I'd see, you know, unless you take a bad contract and you want to trade for him. But, I mean, if you're in New York, I think you'll just wait it out. The only team that I think could make sense, and you guys are probably going to laugh at this, is Houston. I could see Houston probably start him next to James Harden. D'Antoni's been doing wonders with a bunch of guys. Maybe, you know, put him in an offense where he could still average like 20 points but not be the guy, you know, on the ball. I think that might work. Take Harden away from that point guard spot but still play him as point guard, a shooting point. I think that's the only team that would make sense. I can't think of anybody else in the league that should even sniff at Derrick Rose. Maybe the Pelicans.
Yeah.
You know, maybe there's something that you could work out with him and Anthony Davis, but other than that, I just don't. It just doesn't make sense.
Yeah, I was when you brought up Houston. I mean, they're always kind of like right behind San Antonio in my mind, as you know. And I thought about that, but then you know, Houston's got Patrick Beverley, and the team loves Patrick Beverley, and he's you know a defensive specialist if there ever has been one, and he has to be used to cover what James Harden doesn't do. Can Derrick Rose? Could he fill in and take Patrick Beverley's minutes, knowing what's going to have to happen from a defensive perspective, you know, James Harden giving up you know, what he does defensively. I don't know. That's a tough one. The more we're talking about this, the more I'm realizing that moving Derrick Rose makes no sense. The Knicks are going to wait him out and drop him at the end of the year, and then nobody's going to pick him up. Anyway.
Yeah. Maybe Denver. I don't know. I'm looking at the teams here. It's just every team, even if they're bad, you know, it still wouldn't justify a Derrick Rose move.
Yeah, not for that
Maybe
kind
China.
Of money. You know, and you'd love to have a guy like that come in off the bench, you know, a veteran dude like that, former MVP. This might drive you a little bit crazy, but do you think that he just needs better leadership around him, in locker room leadership, and a stronger-minded coach? Do you think that you know, having him end up on a team like Golden State would make sense? I mean, money-wise, forget it. We took all of that off. But you talk about the leadership that they have in the locker room and the strong-minded coach.
Basketball-wise, it wouldn't make sense because they still have Livingston, right? So he'd have to come off the bench. You know, the only team I could say is San Antonio, and that's just because of Pop. But yeah, I mean, you still take a huge gamble in that because let's say they sign him. You know, it's not going to be a max contract, or you could trade for him. I don't know. But let's just say it happens. If he backs up Tony Parker, you still have to you know, he's still not going to be the guy getting those shots. And in Pop's system, you have to be in motion and you have to be ready to shoot. He wants the ball. He wants to create something. And if it's not there, and by it not being there, he means that 1% of the time, he's going to kick it out. Yeah. So I just don't see that working.
No, I don't either. There's not a single guy on San Antonio's roster, anywhere on the roster, that I would trade for Derrick Rose.
I'm still trying to find teams. I mean, all these teams, even if they're bad, you still roll with their point guard. So maybe he goes to China. Maybe, you know, when Trump said, you know, oh, we're going to screw the Chinese, you know, send them Derrick Rose. Send them that contract over there. Him and Marbury on the same team. I'd kill to watch that.
Right. Well, the Derrick Rose saga continues. Well, let's move into something positive. Ben Simmons is running drills now with the 76ers. Do you think he can come back this year? Ben?
I don't think it's worth it. He could, but I don't think it's worth it.
Yeah, don't press him into action.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing 5-on-0 drills. He's not doing anything real, nothing with real contact yet. I would say if he is fully healthy near the end of the season, I say sure, throw him in there in some games so that he can get him some games just so that he can get his sea legs under him or whatever, and see what he looks like. But if it's not, if he's not 100% and you don't feel comfortable for him to play, then don't play him. Because the minute you play him, he's a rookie.
Right.
And honestly, the only thing he has going for him is potentially winning Rookie of the Year next year. Mm-hmm. Which is what Blake Griffin did when he missed what should have been his rookie year.
And Embiid will do this year.
What?
And Embiid will do this year.
Right. Embiid has been so great this year. And the problem is, you know, you have all these bigs with Philadelphia. By the time Ben Simmons is healthy enough to play, you may have already moved one of them. Nerlens Noel may be gone.
Mm-hmm. Portland were
in anticipation of having Simmons back.
Yeah. Yep.
So, yeah.
Maybe I'm
with Ben on that. You know, and the thing that's going to worry me, you know, I've seen sort of rumors and innuendos. The first time I used that, so sorry.
Great.
You know, on really Twitter where they want to put him in as point guard and they want to run the offense through him up in the, you know, I think that's idiotic. But if they're going to do something drastic like that, you might as well work on it now for next season. Get him comfortable in that. If I'm the Sixers, I have the guy work his legs like me every other day or whatever it may be. Because again, I think the main problem is with him, and this is where you have to be careful with big guys, is it was reported he gained a lot of weight, or he gained more weight. Was it like 10 or 20 pounds during the offseason so he could play big? But you got to remember with these NBA guys, all that weight is up. You know, it's in the arms, it's in the chest, it's in the shoulders. It's really not in the legs. So I think that's why a lot of bigs have those injuries, because their legs are so skinny. It's kind of like Dwight Howard. You know, Dwight Howard's a big old guy, but with, you know, really small legs. I think he has to reverse that. He has to strengthen up his legs. And, I mean, if he moves off the position, I mean, I think he'll just be stronger in that sense. So, you know, posting small guys up, posting bigger guys, I think it'll just, you know, help him throughout. So I would just prep for next season. Whatever the Sixers want to do, I would sit with the front office, with the coaches, and I would ask them, okay, what do you see for me next to Embiid? And then they could work around that. He could get used to it. So next season, especially in the off season, with those two guys, then you can bring in players that'll say, okay, this guy can play next to him if we're doing this, you know, if we're running the scheme, instead of just going after the best available free agent. And then really, then you got to start all over, because then you got to make those guys fit in. So I would just prep for next season. Don't even think about bringing him back.
Well, let's talk about a guy who's not going to be back next season. Just got dropped by the Brooklyn Nets, former number one overall pick Anthony Bennett. That's four teams in 4 years. Draft by the Cavs, moves to Minnesota in the Kevin Love trade. Goes home to Toronto. That doesn't work out. Goes to Brooklyn this year. He's played in 23 games, 5 points, 3 boards, 6'8 forward. Can't the NBA do anything with Anthony Bennett? They will start out there with Ben, East Coast man.
No, I hope they don't. He's one of the worst first number one overall picks I've ever seen. I remember all of the issues he had coming out of school. He went to UNLV for a year, didn't play as well as people thought he should have. He had a big sleep apnea problem that he refused to fix, by the way. Very easy fix. You get like a CPAP machine, or you get one of those nose patches. My dad's got a CPAP machine. He sleeps great now, by the way. So, I mean, it's a pretty easy fix that he refused to get. That should have been a sign. And he hasn't been able to stick with any team. He has just been bad. There is no way around it. He is probably one of the worst non-injury busts in the NBA.
I agree with Ben. I think he's worse of a bust than Kwame Brown. At least Kwame Brown was somewhat productive. This guy just, how you said, he just can't stick.
Kwame Brown made it 10 years in the league. 10 years.
True.
No bust.
Yeah. But I think he should just go to China. Maybe fix whatever he can fix, like Michael Beasley did. I don't know what you'd fix, though. He doesn't really have an it. We've discussed this before. Like, you know, if you want to be a star or you want to play in the NBA, you have to have an it. You know, be a defender, be a rebounder, a shot blocker, a shooter. You have to have something that you do really well. He's just below average at best at everything. So I would just, you know, if I'm the NBA, don't do the guy a favor and don't even sign him.
You see, I look at Anthony Bennett and say, it just like you're saying here, Jose, if he could just find that one thing that he wants to focus on, there's got to be enough talent there. There just has to be. I got to believe it, right? That there's enough talent there that he could fashion himself into being like a Malik Rose type of player.
Malik Rose. How do you start with Malik Rose?
The next one was I
thought you were going to say Rosho Nesterovich next.
Because every rose has its thorn.
No. But like Malik, in all honesty, Malik Rose, and then I've already forgotten his name, and I know this is sad, but the dude from Pitt that has no ACLs?
Dewan Blair.
Can't this guy be Dewan Blair?
Well, what did Dewan Blair do?
Nothing. He lasted in the league for more than 4 years.
He was just a dude who played nasty.
Right. He was around for more than 4 years.
In the first year, remember, he'd get like double-doubles. He'd get like 20 rebounds, and that's just because he would shoot it. He'd get blocked. You know, he'd get blocked every time, and he'd just get his own rebound. Dewan Blair's irrelevant right now, right? And I think, again, that's why he didn't have an it. Do you remember he would kill OKC? I remember Spurs fans say, you know, I hope Pop plays Dewan Blair instead of Thiago Splitter because Blair gets like 20 points, 20 rebounds. But I mean, he never had an it. I just think that he always found some way to get lucky. Guys wouldn't really expect that from him. But now that you can sort of adapt to him and find out that he's 6'6", that you can, you know, move around him and, you know, get rebounds pretty easily, he's irrelevant. So, again, just do something. At least be a spot-up shooter. I don't know how these guys, with these millions of dollars that they get, they can't find a shooting coach that could just teach them how to change their shot. You know, and I hate to use myself because, you know, and a lot of people think this is different from, you know, teaching kids and coaching kids. It's really not, you know, because, you know, even adults, I've played next to adults, you know, in teams, and they're just like kids. You can just see one thing they're doing wrong, and all you have to do is change it. There was a kid who would airball every time because he'd hop into the shots. I told him, just, you know, jump off your tiptoes. He'd swish it every time. There was a kid who, again, would release it like Matt Bonner. No offense to Matt Bonner. You know, but Matt Bonner would release it, you know, right in his face. Kid would airball it every time. I would just tell him, you know, elevate, put your hand a little bit higher, you know, release it higher. Make it every time after that. Again, these guys are millionaires. How can't they hire somebody to check their, you know, their shooting motion, their release, and just change it? He could be a really good NBA player and a defender if he really took the time to be one. And, you know, if he was smart about it. But a lot of these guys are prideful. They think they can do it with, you know, their skills. And again, you'll end up like Anthony Bennett. That should be a commercial. You know, don't be like him.
Don't be like Anthony Bennett. We're going to hit this other story real quick. Paul Millsap on the trading block, off the trading block. Thabo Sefolosha is on the trading block and off the trading block. Atlanta's actually doing really well. I think they're on a 7-game win streak now. Korver's gone, went to Cleveland. Are they retooling their team? What is Coach Bud doing over there? Because he's got full roster control, head coach. He's got a couple of great assets, but are they rebuilding or what? And how confusing has that been to have Millsap have it out in the open that, dude, you're on the trading block. We are trying to move you, and then you get pulled back off of that. How are you supposed to stay motivated?
It's very odd. But I think when they pulled him off the trading block once they got rid of Korver, because they then realized, okay, we're gonna do a little rebuilding, but we're gonna build around Paul Millsap essentially. He's gonna be the focus of the team. They're gonna have to re-sign him eventually. I think either this year or next year, and you know they kind of build around him. They have Kent Bazemore, another guy they're going to build around.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of have your guard or small forward and your power forward. They got Dwight Howard for two more years. He's been solid this year.
Mm-hmm.
They have nice some young guys they're working on. Torian Prince and DeAndre Bembry, both guys are working on. Mike Muscala has actually been playing really well this year. So they have nice young pieces. They need one guy through the draft and probably need to sign a decent free agent this offseason.
So you're saying that Paul Millsap, and these are your words, is a nice young piece?
He is a nice piece. I won't say young. He was born in 1985, so he's a little old on the older side. He's going to be 31 next month, but he's a good piece to have. You don't give him a max contract, but you give him a sizable contract. He's a nice piece to have.
Ryan's being a perv. I got that. you know what I think happened? I think they gave away Korver stupidly to a rival, to a contender, and everybody laughed at them. So they thought, you know, maybe we'll get something for Millsap, and everybody lowballed them because they just gave a pick and Mike Dunleavy for Korver. And you know, teams probably offered something ridiculous stuff that they wouldn't even take.
They got just Mo Williams them. Too now.
Yeah, that was the highlight of the trade. Mo Williams is still in the NBA.
I bet you forgot. Didn't
so you're telling me Mo Williams
still, is he
could
still
be
on
the
team?
NBA,
I thought he was off the team, but they were still paying him. I know that his contract's still on. I don't think he's on the team though.
Well, he got traded to the Hawks, so you know if that's true, you might want to tell the Hawks.
Yeah.
I
wouldn't trade for a guy's salary who isn't playing.
I mean, that's the same with Dunleavy, but you know what? I refuse to believe that Kyle Korver is the guy, the last piece to a championship contender. The guy can't defend. He's just a shooter. He's going to get killed by the Spurs and the Warriors. You know, Danny Green's going to go crazy feasting on him, just moving everywhere, going to lose sight of him, open threes, switch him on Kawhi. Kawhi's just going to destroy him. I just refuse to believe that he's going to be the missing piece.
Well, let's hit two more topics really quickly because we're already over our time here. But Matt Bonner now has a Twitter handle. And if you've ever tried to follow Matt Bonner previously, you could find that it wasn't there. No Twitter handle. His brother's there, but not him. Now, in the post-retirement, Matty B has a Twitter handle. It's at Matt Bonner. Matt Bonner. At Matt Bonner _SAS. So make sure to give him a follow right after you follow at the SpursCast. But Jose, he is joining the Spurs broadcasting team. He's teaming up with your boy Andrew Monaco to do the TV work for San Antonio. What do you think of that?
I love it. And especially those two. Maybe they need a third, and maybe they need somebody to break down the analytics and all that. I know you're thinking about Paul Garcia when I'm mentioning this, but I mean me. Very smart guy. I'm one of the best in the business to do that. I'm very humble at the same time. So maybe I'd fit between them. Shut up, Brian. I know you were thinking something about that. Anyways, maybe we can invite Matt on the podcast. That'd be fun. You know, maybe have a petition, fan questions. You know, he can give us some hoagie advice. I'm excited. You know, he's one of those guys. He got a lot of flack, and I'm gonna admit I was down on him when he was the starting center power forward. I think it was during that 2009 season. When he would have a role when it would be mandatory for him to make threes. But again, Matt Bonner was such an important piece to the team because you need that guy to keep you loose. You need that guy to keep everything, the good vibes around. And that's really what Matt Bonner does. So I really think the team misses him. I don't think they could use him. They could use him in this NBA. I think David Lee's doing an incredible job. Bertans, all the guys that are, on the roster. But again, you miss the influence that Matt Bonner can bring to any team.
But
I'm glad he found a job somewhere. A nice guy. See, I could call him a nice guy and not insult him
afterwards.
There you go.
guys, their power rankings came out. The NBA.com power rankings came out a couple of days ago. Now, I don't know how this is going to be affected by the loss last night that the Spurs had to Milwaukee. But going from 10 to 1, see if there's any of these you disagree with. Number 10 in the NBA.com power rankings are Oklahoma City at 22 and 16. Number 9 is the Utah Jazz at 23 and 16. 8 is Memphis, 24 and 16. Then you get to the LA Clippers at 26-14, then Toronto, who the Spurs just destroyed about a week ago. They're 24-14.
About a week ago.
Boston, I don't know why Boston's I would not put Boston this high, but the top five at 23-14. And then this is when it gets really surprising. Golden State is 4. In the power rankings, and you always hear about Golden State is okay. They're the top team in the NBA. They're number 4. They're 32-6. They've been, when they lose games, they've been losing them late. So they've been competitive. But if you look back, do a little bit of investigation here. They have they've had the second easiest schedule so far. They're only second to Indiana, but they're 32-6. But they've had a cakewalk of a season so far. What do you guys think about Golden State being the number 4 ranked team in terms of, well, power rankings? Ben, what do you think?
Well, it's interesting that you mentioned that basically their strength of schedule. I didn't realize that. And that, if you're going to use that, that makes a lot of sense to justify them at being number 4. I mean, if you have the second easiest schedule in the league and you're supposed to be as good as you are, you could even argue that they shouldn't have 6 losses.
Right.
But, you know, that is still the best record in the league right now, so I guess you can't really complain about it. But, that makes sense to me. I'm not opposed to that.
Well, if I were to disagree, then I'd have to make my case on where they should be. I don't think they should be number 1. I like that the you said San Antonio's number 1, right? That's how much I'm listening to you. San Antonio's 1 and Houston's 2, right?
Yep, San Antonio's number 1 at 30-7 when this came out. They just lost that game, so they're 30-8. They are the 4th highest offensive rating and the number 1 rated defense in the NBA. The Houston Rockets are 2 at 30-9. So just
31.
Slightly behind San Antonio, and then you have Cleveland at 28-8 at number 3.
I like that because, again, you know, Houston wasn't supposed to be where they're at. And I mean, D'Antoni's really coaching out of the box. Again, this is where New York failed him, and I think the Lakers failed him. He doesn't need a complete team. He doesn't need an average team. He doesn't need a good team. He just needs a team that gives him an advantage somehow. Again, with James Harden at the 1, that gives him the advantage in the point guard position. With Trevor Ariza or whoever plays the 4, that gives him an advantage in the power forward position. So, again, the Houston Rockets let him coach like how he can, you know, his strength. So, again, they're overachieving in my opinion. And the Spurs, I mean, the Spurs are struggling to an extent, but they're only going to get better. Again, they haven't had full practices up until like a few weeks ago. So, again, they're getting to know each other. Pop's still experimenting with the lineups. We might see more Bertens. We might see less Kyle Anderson. We might see, you know, more David Lee. We might even see a trade somewhere because of all the talent that they have, and they need a maybe. And again, it won't be far-fetched if San Antonio does make a trade just to get somebody else more minutes. Because again, if they want to get, you know, for an example, DeJounte Murray more minutes, then you really got to do away with Patty Mills. So maybe they do something like that. Not saying in that position, but maybe with the other ones in the 3s and the 4s and the 5 position. So I'm liking that the Spurs are number 1. They're still going to get better. Golden State, like how Ben said, you can argue that they shouldn't have those losses, especially with that talent. And if you notice that, I think they should be lower because those losses have been disappointing. They've had leads. You know, the Grizzlies had a 24-point lead, and then they start, you know, showing off, showboating. That should have bumped them down more. I would have put them at number 10 just for that.
Well, guys, that's it. We're at time, so sorry to cut it off short. The only other bit of news that I think we all care about is Ray McCallum, number 2 rated prospect in the D-League right now.
Can they pick him up
back in the NBA? Of course.
Can they just say because I know with like the with the rookies they can just pick somebody up if they're an unrestricted NBA free agent, right? So I mean, like if the Lakers were to say Ray McCallum, you know, we're calling you up, he just automatically goes up.
Correct.
Is that how it works? Oh,
correct.
Okay. And they haven't called him up because just kidding. Just kidding.
He's the number two rated prospect. Don't steal my dream here.
Maybe the Cavs get him. Maybe. LeBron wants a point guard. That's Make right. your case, bro.
That's right. Guys, that's it for this episode of the Spurs Cast, episode 422. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at the Spurs Cast. Catch up with Jose at JRG1023. Me, I'm at RyanMC_PS. Ben, where can they find you?
I am at the_Boomstein.
With sound effect. And make sure to follow all the Project Spurs folks and follow at Project Spurs. Jose, thank you. Ben, thank you very much. And to all you listeners, you are welcome.
Hi, this is Maury Moreland Morrison here to tell you Geico has more than just great savings. Much more. Yes, while Geico could help you rack up more moolah faster than you can say metamorphosis, they've also been the fastest growing auto insurer for more than 10 years. That's more like it. Furthermore, Geico has fast and friendly claim service. That might seem like an oxymoron, but it's not. All the more reason to say no other auto insurer has more than Geico. Geico, expect great savings and a whole lot more.